If you want to save money on your trading card purchases, we have a promo link over at 50cards.shop. Enter the promo code at night to get 5% off your order. Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus of Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
And today we are talking about the possibility of a thing that I predicted months ago, or maybe it's just I was putting out vibes into the universe that I wanted this to happen.
Yeah, wishful thinking, for at least for a little while.
Wish fulfillment is more like it. So it was brought to our attention. This was sent to us by... Okay, well, this was posted on Boucher's Twitter, but the idea for the episode was sent to us from our good friend Vices, at Visionary Vices on Twitter. Go follow them, because this is interesting. So the tweet here from at Boucher Road Events: Card Fight Vanguard Shop Tournaments starting in June. Shop tournaments for Premium and V-Premium will be combined. Each participant may participate up to four times per month per store, and receive up to four copies of the participation PR cards.
What?
So that seems like, you know, blink if you miss it, right? So Vices quote tweeted this with, you say, quote, you say combined, but what I'm actually reading here is as follows. Thank you, players, for your continued support of Card Fight Vanguard. To streamline future events, we today announced that V-Premium format will reach end of service on May 31st, blah, blah, blah. So... basically, the idea here is that by combining V Premium and Premium Shop challenges together, who's going to get enough people for V?
Yeah. Also, I think I misread the tweet at first, because it's actually just shop tournaments as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, I get, like, I've said this for months that, like, I think V just kind of needs to go the way of the Dodo.
I think a lot of people were speculating, like, the end of V sometime this year. It's been looking pretty dire for the last little while now.
Yeah. Premium 2 were like, but at least they gave us something, right? Here's a premium something. These TDs.
Premium probably can't go away, so they have to, like, keep it going, even if it's just out of obligation, but... like, V has felt like a vestigial format for quite a while now.
Vestigial is a good word, and especially because it starts with V, that I think it fits. Yeah. I find it interesting that they did Springfest with the, you know, one of each format thing. Was that just supposed to be like V Premium Swan Song or something?
I don't know. It would have been, like, more interesting if they would have just said it was. Instead of, like, just keep pretending that V is still real.
Yeah.
Until it isn't.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because tri-regulation felt really weird, because this is, like, obviously standard's not going anywhere. And then, like, premium more or less can't go away. Mm-hmm. And recently they have been giving it, like, nominal support. Just to, like, keep it going.
And then so, also there's, like, a sizable fan base in the West, at least, for keeping that alive to some extent or another.
Yeah. But, and then, you know, as they've added Shadowverse into their tournament circuit, it's like, all right, well, we've always had essentially four tournaments going on, right? Like Standard, V, Premium, and then Weiss. And now that Shadowverse is a thing, they're probably looking to shift around their tournament structure a little bit. And V is just the most obvious cut, right? Like, it always has the lowest attendance. Mm-hmm. Like, the format itself isn't receiving direct support anymore. They only print promos for it. And so, there's not really a reason to keep it around anymore.
Right. V Premium, I think, is interesting because it's... Of the, like, formats that have existed, Nexus at Night has been around for literally the alpha to the omega end of it.
Pretty much. Because, like, you were doing the podcast, like, around the end of Legion, start of G era, I think. And then I definitely joined, like, halfway through G.
Yeah, so you can go back and listen to our episodes where we were like, gee, I wonder what kind of imaginary gift is going to be given to these clans. And then we were sitting there going like, oh, because Nova Grappler is Excel, which one's going to be Force? Which one's going to be Protect? And then it just turned out they were both Force for the rest of Stargate. And like, you can go back and see our speculation of a now dying format. It's kind of like the Ozymandias poem. Right. To those who don't know, Ozymandias, also a very good Breaking Bad episode, is this. It's like a poem from, or not a poem, like a declaration on a king's statue about like how my empire will never die, and it was found in a desert somewhere. You know, mm-hmm. It's people long dead. It's empire long crumbled, and now we're seeing that in real time.
I mean. We were also there for, like, the end of the original era of the game, right?
Barely. Like, one or two episodes. Because the very first episode of the show is, like, one of the Bermuda Triangle sets. Yeah.
But, like, if we're being technical, like, the original series did extend into G, right? Like, they didn't reboot until V started.
Right.
So, like, we have been around for, like, the end of every era so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also say that, like, I feel like V format was when we were the most detached from the game. Mm.
We were excited for the concept of imaginary gifts when they were first announced.
Mm-hmm.
And then in practice, I think the more we saw, the less we liked it.
Like, I think gifts were fine in the beginning. Like, it really didn't, like, this has been my conspiracy theory, but, like, that set with Mordred in it. That led into like the Excel meta was when things started getting really bad. Like, yeah, that was when Excel decks as a whole got pretty good with. Oh, fuck. What was it? Like, Zon. I forget what the Murakumo unit was that was good at that time, but Hyuga. Like that one.
Hyuga.
Yeah, Hyuga. And Silverthorns were both like decks that could gain advantage on their own, and then they had Force 2 on top of that. And then at the same time, like, this was the point where they started being a lot more open about giving decks, like, additional attacks. So, like, Mordred was the first very prominent deck, I think, to get, like, multi-attack in a Force deck. Like, it existed before with things like Great Dayusha. I'm trying to think if there were, like, other ones.
Yeah. That like, felt way less... Great. Yeah, like the Great and Dayusha, that felt way less dynamic, though, than Mordred Phantom just being like, stand your whole board, or all your rear guards. And
also, I think the Great didn't come out until, like, after. When did the Great come out?
I think that was a little later.
Yeah.
I don't freaking remember.
I don't remember, but the point is, like, up until that point, Force decks were largely three attacks, right?
Yeah, Silver Dust Blaze. That was the set. This had
no. You're thinking of the cross.
Oh right, damn it. That was another thing about V right. Was just rehashing the same units again. Everything had a V version to it now. Fine, I guess, but I think in hindsight, it probably led to this. Like, if your unit rehash was good, then, like, yay, that's awesome. And to boot, I can use it in premium with the old stuff that was tied to that unit.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was bad, fuck.
Okay, so the Great came out before Mordred did.
Hmm.
So yeah, like, the Great was probably the first, like, major restanding deck, because that was the one where it's like, if your soul has a Great 3, you counterblast 1, discard 2, stand itself, and Dragonic Neoflame, and they both get a drive plus 1, so that was probably the first, like, major multi-attack deck. Mordred was, like, multi-attacking and gift stacking.
Yeah, that deck's whole gimmick was getting like a bunch of force gifts on one circle.
Mm-hmm.
So they could use, what was that other guy? Something Thrust Dragon. I don't remember his name.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that was out when Mordred was meta, was it? Or maybe I'm wrong.
That was the. It should have been the same set. Yeah. One of your like three force gifts.
You're right. Cool. It is. Yeah. Danger Lunge was in fact
Danger in the Lunge. Same set. Yep.
Yes.
So yeah, you have like big asshole with a guard restrict combined with multi attacking.
Mm-hmm.
If you want more details about like Card Row's history, Deck Flare, a good friend of ours, put out a video about it about 10 days ago. How Card Row became the worst clan in Cardfight Vanguard. Recommend checking wild. That out. What?
Which is wild if you think back to like ye olden days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he covers it all pretty comprehensively, and I highly recommend you give it a
shot. Remember when like OTT and Mega Colony were the worst clans in the game?
Yes, and then wait. I mean, okay, not so much Mega Colony, but you know what I mean.
I mean, OTT is still somewhat relevant. It's like meta adjacent.
Yeah. So, with V Premium being now your main source of cards going into your deck in Premium, I think that it had a large impact on just the way decks are built. Where like your grade one lineup was V cards, unless something better be really good to justify that 5k shield.
Yeah, that was one of the things about V that was like really weird, and I haven't gotten over like how many years has it been since V started.
I believe it was 2017, 2018.
Okay, so yeah, we're like 7 years out from V, and I still haven't gotten over the like stat line changes.
Yeah, I remember liking the shield increase on the grade ones, and then they just went back to it for complained about this when standard started, but
like I never liked the other stat changes though, the like increase in base power. Because it makes, like, old premium cards really awkward now, right? Where they're just, like, randomly weaker than the current standard of power.
Yes.
So, and it's especially annoying because, like, a lot of old cards were designed to hit, like, exactly 11 or 16. And so you attack, and you're like, okay, 5k shield, this is 18.
Yeah.
Well, nothing I can do about that.
I think... at least with boosting, that became less of a problem where it was like, all right, I'm hitting 19 or 24, which is, you know, good enough.
Eventually. Yeah. But for a long time, the only way people could do that is with their 12K attacker reasonably.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't have one, or, you know, maybe only one of your comms had 12K attacker, your other column was probably not hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your 12K attacker is going to die immediately, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I've never gotten over that. Like, it also makes talking about historical cards weird because it's like, yeah, and just a reminder, like, the math around, like, what is considered a good column is completely different when I'm talking about, like, 2015 Vanguard.
I mean, when you think about, like, really old Vanguard, too, right? When people are, like, either 11 or 13, speaking of, like, Dote.
Yeah.
You also had, like, Palladius and Royal Paladin. Who's 13k attacker on his own with AK behind him is 21. So the difference between 11k base and 13k base here is quite large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that just became like a permanent shift. And it makes it really awkward, especially for like for archetypes that don't have like the best range of support. And you have to still lean on a lot of older cards. It's like, wow, it's very nice that my like 9k, you know, gains 5 to become 14. And was like clearly designed to be a 21k column to hit over, you know, for back in the day when a trigger was only 10k shield and vanguards were like 11,000.
And trigger effects were 5k power and not 10k power.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing where like if you were using your effect triggers from G, that was something to consider. Like now instead of in premium, instead of saying 1 to pass, 2 to pass, whatever, I would say it in power. right? 15K to pass, 20K to pass, just for to avoid the confusion.
Yeah.
And like the reason for people who are, you know, maybe newer to the game, you started with overdress, whatever. V Premium at the beginning was meant to be something like a rock, paper, scissors dynamic where you had force clans beating Excel clans beating protect clans beating force clans, where force clans had a higher base power. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
No, keep going.
Okay. Force clans had a higher base power, meaning that they could block the Excel attack or the Excel deck's multiple hits better. And then the Excel decks would beat the protect clans because they were both 12K bases. And then you would just drain more cards out of the hand with the multi-attacks. And then protect clans had the protect gift to PG the big but less attacks of the force clans. And that all kind of went out the window by the time we got like 6, 7, 8 sets in.
I would argue that went out like 3 sets in. Like, as soon as we got Zanbaku.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Zanbaku was the harbinger of it all coming apart. Now, I'm glad that they didn't try to do that again in Standard, where they're not going to be like, all right, Stoikeia and Dark States beat Brantgate and Kenner. They're just like, it's Vanguard again. We're not trying to do that. My other problem with the whole rock, paper, scissors thing was there are 24 clans, and they had 10 force, 8 excel, and 6 protect. If you're going to do it rock, paper, scissors and have it be equal, why aren't you doing 8, 8, 8? Like, it all goes into each other.
But that became a problem, like... Yeah, but that, like you said, that only became a problem like 6, 7, 8 sets later because they took forever to introduce every clan.
Yeah. It took forever to introduce clans. And then, again, now, like we saw with Zanbaku and Mordred, where the line started to blur pretty quickly. And the whole, like, mechanic of it all just, it didn't matter, you know? By the time you get to, like, Sharhat Vampire, who just restands his front row, like, that's not...
Yeah.
That's not protect.
Yeah, so like I feel like they had a pretty cohesive like design for like early V, and then like as power creep went on, they just threw a lot of those design decisions out of the window. So like one of the things about early V was they had kind of like your sub boss and then your like finisher boss. So you had things like Dragonic Waterfall or Imperial Daughter that are like if you ride on top of a grade 3 or if you have a grade 3 in Soul, you know, or Soul Blasting a grade 3, etc., etc. And like at some point they did start to like drift away from that idea.
Yeah, where you have like so the first one is the guy you kind of sit on for most of the game, and then you have like the nuke, right?
Yeah. Like that I feel like that only lasted like 2, 3 sets until like Zanbaku came out. Although
Zanbaku ruined Vanguard, but hashtag 2024.
Okay, I'll like modify it a little bit. I think this was something that like didn't happen as often with Excel decks in particular. Like Excel decks feel like they were always designed to just kind of step on the gas. Whereas the other two like gift types were designed to like build up to a win con protect in particular. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, they just kind of had to throw that design philosophy out the window.
Yeah, because usually how they would have it is involve either the riding on top of a grade 3 to get your big skill or soul blasting a grade 3 to make that happen. Again, pointing to Waterfall and Imperial Daughter. And by the way, you were right. About 2018 is when V started, and I remember... Because at that point, I was living at my mom's house, and I was doing these podcasts up in the attic. and that's where we have the famous episode of me trying to do the Marc Maron by myself for 20 minutes, and just, no, wasn't happening.
Okay, you know what really ruined the design philosophy of V? Bermuda Triangle. That first Bermuda set where Colorful Pastoral was just the best deck for, like, months.
And it went from that, like, right into Anger Blader and whatnot, right?
I think so.
Maybe. No, I think there was because like the next set after, like the next extra booster after that was the one with like MLB and
Yeah, oh, and no, then that September was yeah. Anger Blader, right?
Yeah, so we had that brief period of things like The Great and probably Gauntlet Buster being good, and then we got into the Excel meta.
Yeah,
because Raging Tactics was, September, like Matt said. It's October for us. But The Colorful Pastoral was, like, that summer.
No, summer was, like, things like Aerial Steed Liberate. Like I said, like, Phantasmal Steed Restoration was probably when everything shifted. That came out around September.
That's the set I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That was Mordor and Anger Blader, right?
Yeah, and the Bermuda set was, like, May. And so we did have a brief period where they, like, choice-restricted Sonata and what's it, Lieselot, and then the deck became fair, and then we had some things like Gauntlet Buster and The Great being meta for a little bit.
Yeah, the real shift at Raging, at Steed Liberation or whatever, is like on grade 3 ride started to become really freaking insane. Like Anger Blader did not care particularly.
Yeah, but what Anger Blader was also the deck that got nerfed immediately.
Yeah, but it lasted long enough for Worlds. That's all I needed to do. And then what? Riviera came out and got immediately hit.
No, Riviera survived for like 2 months before they eroded it.
I thought it was like basically eroded on release here.
Oh, here? I think so. I think in Japan
it was like it came like out and months. They immediately said you got a month.
Yeah. Like in Japan it lasted a lot longer, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, because Japan they were playing it at Worlds, but here they weren't. And so Narukami was like really good.
Yeah. All right, let's start looking. This is Vanquisher
came out that January.
I'm just looking at like past topping lists right now to see
what
like
a time.
Okay, me too.
God, I've just like blocked all of early V out of my brain. I feel
the Anger Blader thing was dumb because like there were so many times you'd just be playing the game and you're like, well, I could just die here, and that's that. Like, there's no, it could just happen. It could happen to you.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to hope.
Oh, I also forgot about that time. Like Glory Maelstrom was good for a little bit.
Ah, that's right.
Oh yeah.
That's funny that like I happen to be on my Glorious Justice while we're. While you talk about that, Glory Maelstrom.
Around this time, Hugo was already out. It looks like Gauntlet Buster was like a good deck around that time too. And then there's like random shit like Glory Maelstrom in between.
Yeah, and then Vanquisher would come out early the next year. But people would still play Gauntlet Buster because they like pretending their opponent doesn't have a PG.
Yeah. Yeah, always so I do see time. Like Anger. So yeah, I see like Anger Blader here, Mordred, Anger Blader. So around BCS in 2019 is when that like Excel meta became a thing. So you had shit like Gauntlet Buster, you had Anger Blader, you had Hyuga, and then like Mordred was one of the only decks that could kind of compete in that sphere. One of the, like non-Excel decks that competed consistently in that sphere.
I forgot that the very first like extra booster in V was all the tech booster guys with Tachi Spikes and Mega Colony, and it was just like hot garbage. I remember doing a case split for the Tachi stuff too, and it was just nothing.
Yeah. God. You know, I feel like my time frame for like V's meta is completely skewed by the way they like numbered their sets. Because, you know, in standard now, they just keep the numbers going, right? Like we very rarely have extra boosters, whereas like they'll have a main set and then they'll have like three extra boosters before set two comes out. And so you have this image of things like Phantom Blaster and Zanbaku coming out like right after the first set because it's like set two, but actually there were like two extra boosters between that had like Convention Police, Aqua Force, Mega Colony, and all that.
Yeah, like it has its own set of numbering. Like they both start and then just
because it's like
run parallel we got to each other.
V1, and then we got V extra booster 1, which had like Spike's Mega Colony and Tachikaze. Mm-hmm. Then I think we got V extra booster 2 that had Dimension Police, Grand Blue, and Aqua Force. And then finally we got like proper V set 2 that had Pale Moon, Mirakumo, Dark Irregulars, and Shadow Paladin. And so I feel like all of the like extra boosters in between main sets also made it really difficult to like keep track of what the meta looked like.
In hindsight, it definitely does. That's for sure. Not the destructive roar. Oh my god, this is freaking awful.
But yeah. Circling back to the point I was making at the very beginning of this weird tangent, I feel like we were just very disconnected from V. Like, I didn't play the game during V at all. And I, like, mostly stayed on... I mostly, like, kept up with the news and stayed on this podcast just out of obligation.
Yeah, about the same. I mean, like, of the time... like, of the times where I've, like, played this game, you know, usage has waxed and waned, you know, stuff goes on in my life. Like, for example, I haven't played Standard in months because the way, like a job obligation thing happens during the Standard locals in my area. Mm-hmm. So I just can't really do it until summer break. But that doesn't mean I don't like Standard and I don't pay attention to Standard. V, for the most part, I just, like, defied it and played Premium. The only V deck I really kept in any perpetuity was Great Nature. And again, much like Rootbeer said, almost out of obligation. Like,
yeah,
I have it. I don't really play it. Like, I have this big green deck box that I keep my Great Nature stuff in. And like the left side is all my Premium stuff. The middle is extras. And the right side is the V thing. I don't know. It's been, I think, years at this point since I've opened that side on purpose.
Yeah.
There's no reason to.
And, like, the early V format was very volatile. Like, the meta kept shift... Had, like, very hard... I'm trying to figure out how to phrase... Like, had very radical shifts. So, again, Zanbaku ruined everything.
That's what I'm titling this episode.
Zanbaku is funny.
Zanbaku ruined everything.
Yeah, because, like, the design philosophy of early V was... Like, rewriting to get your big plays. And then Zanbaku stops you from rewriting.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
My favorite part about that card is you didn't even need the Arrestor part of it. Just the just the mains of Baku, Counterblast 1, Soul Blast 1 was enough. You're like, all right, good luck rewriting, idiot.
Yeah. So, anyway, we've been reminiscing a lot about V, but let's actually talk about the impact of like merging the tournaments, right?
Okay, fine.
So, like we said, this might as well read, V is done, please stop playing the format. And so that is going to have a bit of an effect on, I think, people like playing the game. There's bound to be at least some hanger-ons for V, right? And I can't imagine those people are particularly happy that their like main format is gone. You know, not everyone necessarily keeps up. Like, not everyone necessarily likes the changes made to Standard, and not everyone like wants to keep up with Premium. So this is going to cause some like weird overlaps at your locals now.
Yeah, you're going to have like most of the V players I meet are just like, I like V. I play Premium or I play Standard, but I like it. I don't think it like I've yet to meet someone in a while who that's like their ride or die, you know.
So I feel like there's only a handful of them.
Yeah, I imagine it's just going to be like, you know, Poland on a map for 100 years where it just became part of these other countries. You have these people just melt into the other formats.
I mean, I feel like we've gone long enough without any direct support that like people would have either moved on or moved to a different format, but who knows?
Or even a different card game. I've definitely seen people just be like, I'm not, you know, V's not adding anything. I'm switching to Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's what I mean by moving on. They just like moved on from Vanguard.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. you know, on the whole, probably the biggest consequence of V dying is that we're not going to get any, like, premium rearguard support.
Right.
Which we've barely been getting anyways, but it does feel extra bad, especially for, like, newer archetypes that got introduced at the tail end of V, you know.
And they never got their, like, second wave or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I've brought this up very consistently in the last couple of years because Bushiroad's current design philosophy for premium seems to be, what if we just errata these, like, 10-year-old cards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's very lame. And I feel... Well, that's very lame, but also, like, it doesn't fix the other fundamental problem of, like, these cards are 10 years old. You know, all of their associated support is equally ancient. Like, if you actually wanted these to be relevant in the current format as their own decks and not just, well, if you draw it going first, then you ride it because it gives you extra gifts and lets you, like, stride early, then, like, they need to print actual rearguard support, which is, like, the one thing that they don't do. And the current design trends of Standard moving into, like, energy and the like means there's a much larger section of cards in Standard now that are just unusable in premium.
Yes.
And even cards that you feel like should be usable in premium, like, one of the big criticisms of V is that, like, a lot of archetypes moved away from their original identities. And then now that they're retraining them again for D format, they're trying to stick closer to what the card originally was like. And so you have a bunch of support that just, like, doesn't work for the V version, which is probably the better pick for premium, like, most of the time.
Yeah.
Just because of how powerful and impactful gifts are.
Like, V rearguards have been so interesting when it comes to deck building, and usually what most people's decks are full of, ditto, you know, double that now with the energy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sad to see it go. Like, I the last, like, major V anything was the, like, little ride helpers, the pseudo amber clones.
Yeah.
That every deck got. And I thought those were fantastic. Those were really cool additions.
And now, like, the most recent things are, like, the grade ones that count as heals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
I mean, I feel like they were, like, designated for V, and they feel like they were designed for, but, like, obviously they were just being designed for premium.
Mm-hmm. Bushiro doesn't seem to want to, you know, kind of say it with their chest, right? V's, you're doing triple formats up, it's, now it's, you combine it with premium, we're not going to say it's dead. We can't say it's dead. Yeah. Like,
I feel like they can get away with just saying that V is dead. Like, V is already such a, like I said at the beginning, it's such a vestigial format that, like, they could probably get away with that. Like, they absolutely can't get away with trying to get rid of actual premium. There's just no way.
No.
And I do wish they would give premium more attention. Like, I think the rearguard issue for me really is just keeping me away from premium.
The rearguard issue and G-guards also. That's a big deal.
Yeah, G-guards.
G-guards are, like, the clans that are doing the best are those that have the best G-guards, I think. It's not, like, completely one-to-one, but, like, a good chunk of them have
you want both, right? Like, you want to have a deck. Like, you're not going to play a bad strategy just because the rearguards are pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think, for example, I feel like a Royal Paladin would be in a much better position if their G-guards didn't suck hot ass.
Yes, absolutely.
They have the rear guards and the vanguard, like, pressure to make up for it, but, like, they don't have the, like, ability to live through whichever turn. Mm-hmm. So, and for people who are big fans of V Premium, if you made it all the way through this episode without clicking out, thank you. I understand, like, a thing you like disappearing or crumbling to pieces in your hands is hard. So if you are interested in, like, taking a look at one of the other formats, we have a series on our channel about how to turn your V premium deck into a premium deck with, like, very little interference. V to premium transitions.
We should probably finish that series.
A big part of it is, like, the people I want to guest with are, like, not available for the most part. Example, Solemn Vanguard is Solemn Pokemon now, basically. I don't know. Like, I haven't been able to get a hold of him in months.
Yeah. He's
a busy man.
Yeah. He's, like, off doing other stuff.
Yeah. Like, I see him complaining about Fire Format, too, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Fire Format is something else.
For Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh also. Like, but I wanted to use him for Dark Regulars, and I haven't. That was my next one.
I feel like we could figure out Dark Regulars.
No, I can. Okay, I can figure out the rest of the clans we have to do, either in the little brain trust we have going, or I already had the knowledge to begin with. But I wanted to, like, oh, it's someone you know helping you out, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but honestly, I feel like if it's Dark Irregular specifically that's holding this up, that we should probably just bite the bullet and
fine,
do it.
Fine. I'll like,
Dark Irregulars is not that hard.
No, it's not. You can now that Blankmire is coming out, there is a build you can do with Blankmire, and
of course there is.
And No Life King. It's not as good as Baromagnus, but it's something you can do, you know. So yeah, if what do you think about V Premium disappearing? Leave a comment below. Or if you want to reach out to us at Nexus at Night on Twitter. And all the other places, Instagram that we barely check, shit like that. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/NexusNight. $5 a month, you get a whole ass bonus show with sometimes the three of us, sometimes two of us. Thanks to our $10 patrons. So if you pay $10, you get this coming up and also your stuff a day early. Thank you to Darren, Cole, Josh, Jeremy, GR, Ali, and Tony. Thank you to all them. How about the rest of us?
Find me on Twitter at Wiggums, 2Gs, 2Zs.
Find me at Plasma Eclipse.
Find me at Atlas Novak and all the places. Check out my other podcasts, Generation Dan or Last Minute History, which is on Generation Dan's like RSS feed. So look up Dan, you found Last Minute. Or my YouTube channel, The Epileptic Comic. So thanks everybody for listening. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm still Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
And have a good night, everybody.